Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys coming up here on this Thursday. Plenty of college basketball talk, as always, as we dive into some glassatology. We're going to look at the Big Ten Conference today. Michigan State with another massive win last night over Maryland. We'll break down the conference, look at some of the teams that I like heading in to the NCAA tournament. Also, the NFL Combine starts today out in Indy. We'll break down the number one overall pick market. We have some big news yesterday about Abdul Carter. We will dive into that, and we'll preview the Chicago Cubs today on the show as we wrap up our previews on the NL Central. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day, give out all of our best bets on this Thursday. As always, any questions, any comments that you guys have for us, let us know. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network. You can send in your questions on YouTube, on X, on Twitch as well, at the BetMGM Network. Send them in to us here on Send It In. And if you miss any part of the show as well over the next 30 minutes, make sure you guys check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Get this thing rolling on a Thursday. Joining us on the Glasser guest line is Josh Freidman. Give Josh a follow on X at Josh_Freidman, WGN-TV Chicago and GN Sports Reporter and Anchor. Josh, great having you on the show, man. This Cubs team, really interesting heading into this upcoming season. They are the favorites in the NL Central. Disappointing the year last year for the Cubbies. Do you feel like they are the team to beat this year in that division?
Well, PJ, they're undefeated in the Cactus League so far, so clearly something is working. Sammy Sosa's out in Arizona working with some of the young guys. He's back with the organization for the first time in 21 years. So the hype, the optimism is there for this Cubs team. But I do feel like it is warranted. They are the favorites in the National League Central. Depending on where you look, Pecota likes them to win the division games. So very bullish on this Cubs team, projecting more than 90 wins. And yeah, this all-in season for the Cubs, when you look at the offseason moves, Kyle Tucker being the big one, trading top prospect Smith pieces for Tucker on a walk year. So you're only guaranteed 1 year of a superstar in Kyle Tucker, who I think was a little bit buried in that Houston lineup as far as the notable names. It was Alvarez and Bregman and Altuve, and sometimes Tucker got lost, but an incredible talent. So they need to capitalize on having him for one season. You get Ryan Pressly from Houston as well, and a couple other moves to shore up the bullpen. They would have loved to have Bregman. That didn't work out, but this is kind of an offseason that has been pushing the chips in. Jed Hoyer, he's in his last year of his contract as well as the team's VP of baseball ops. So a lot of pressure on the Cubs to get back to the postseason, which they haven't done in a full year since then.
Wow. Yeah, it certainly does feel like they're trying to go all in. They make the big acquisition for Tucker. Outside of him, Josh, who do you feel like is the everyday player for the Cubs that needs to have a big season this year outside of Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, it's a good question, PJ, because you can point to a number of guys that need to exceed their projections. That's been a talking point from the Cubs, whether it's Jed Hoyer or Craig Counsell. I'll go to Dansby Swanson, who is the second highest paid player in franchise history. He signed that huge 7-year contract. Only Jason Hayward had a longer contract worth more money in Cubs franchise history. And while Swanson has been spectacular as a shortstop, the hitting has not been up to par of what he produced for the Braves. And we learned at the Cubs convention in January that Swanson had been dealing with an injury for not just last year, but he said a year and a half he'd been dealing with kind of a core muscle injury, played through it, never had a significant IL stint. And, you know, he's a gamer. He played 162 games routinely for Atlanta. So he's a guy who's going to give it his all no matter what he's dealing with. But he finally had core muscle surgery in the offseason. Said he feels like he's back to being himself, being 100%. So if he is truly healthy now, I'm expecting a bigger season at the plate from Dansby Swanson. And that really extends this lineup because Seiya Suzuki is now going to be kind of a full-time DH, focusing on what he can do with the plates. He was kind of the Cubs' best all-around hitter last season. I think Michael Busch can take a step up after a pretty good rookie year as well. And then Matt Shaw, the young third baseman, who they're kind of giving the job right now. He's battling an oblique right now in spring training. But if he is your everyday third baseman, you need to see what he can produce as a guy who was just drafted in 2023. So not many minor league appearances. They did add Justin Turner kind of as insurance and a couple other guys like John Birdie and Vidal Brujan who can fill in there as well. So there's some of the names, but I would circle Swanson as a guy I think needs to really step up at the plate.
I know they're obviously expecting a lot, too, from their 1-2 punch at the starting pitching with Imanaga and Justin Steele. And it's interesting, Josh, like 2 years ago, Steele was incredible. He was an NL Cy Young candidate. Last year, Imanaga was for much of the season. So now they're hoping that, like, these two guys can put it together this season. Right now at BetMGM, they're both 35-1 to win NL Cy Young. So as we look at the season, who do you think would be a better bet this year to win Cy Young? Would you rather back Imanaga or Justin Steele this season?
Yeah, I like those numbers for both the lefties. If I had to choose one, I'm actually going with Steele. As much as I love watching Imanaga pitch, and he is a fan favorite in Chicago, from the moment he had his first press conference here singing Go Cubs Go, really endearing himself to the Cubs fan base, he is a joy to watch pitch because it's so unique. He's only about 5'10". His arm angle as a lefty just different for hitters. So maybe they adjust this year. If you look at some of the advanced metrics, he did outperform ERA and some of those other metrics because he gives up a lot of home runs. So I would turn to Steele, who you mentioned how good he was in 2023, PJ. Last year, the number is almost identical. He just missed a lot of time because opening day in Texas, I was at that game, he goes down with a hamstring injury fielding a bunt, and he misses 6 to 8 weeks right off the bat. And so that kind of set him back, but the numbers in the end were almost identical. Again, about a 3.07 ERA, low one whip. The strikeouts are there. So if he takes another jump, I feel like Steele could have that sleeper potential to be a guy in that Cy Young race. Now, it's tough to bet against anybody not named Paul Skeens right now in the National League, but you're not getting any value with him. So, yeah, Steele 35-1, I think it's worth maybe a little bit.
Love it. How do you see the season playing out? So, obviously, they're favored to win the division. They're minus money to make the playoffs. They are, their win totals right now, 86.5. How do you see the season outlook for the Cubs? You think they win 87 games or more this season to make the playoffs?
Well, the last 2 years, they won 83, and it was disappointing on both fronts. Last year, they actually got off to a really good start and had a terrible middle of the season, May through early July, and they never really could claw out. But after that, the last, you know, 2 months of the year, they were one of the best teams, not only in the National League, but of all of baseball. But it kind of got buried because of how much they dug themselves in that hole. So if they can kind of level out that consistency a little bit more, and the talent is much more improved, as we talked about, led by, you know, Kyle Tucker, I really can't understate how big of a difference it's going to make to have a guy like Tucker in the lineup, because before, no one in the lineup really scared you. And not only that, he's a gold glover in right field. And you can talk yourself into, hey, it's his contract year. He's motivated. He was just traded as well. So I think just him alone, plus getting guys that are healthier throughout the season. We mentioned Swanson, Seiya Suzuki as well. Nico Horner's probably going to start on the IL coming off off-season surgery too. But when everybody's healthy, I think this Cubs team, I would love if they added another big-time starter. That's kind of what is missing from this team. But enough to win the division, yes. Enough to clear that 86.5 win threshold, I'd say yes as well. I think they're closer to a 88, 89, or 90 win team.
Talking with Josh Freiman here on Send It In on the BetMGM Network. Josh, I do want to ask you about Missouri Hoops. I know you're a big fan there, and I love their team as we head into March. But for our guy, Shawnee Sharp, how do you think his White Sox are going to be this season? Do they crack 50 games this year, Josh? What do you think?
My old intern, Sean Hall, Shawnee Sharp. I like that nickname. Yes. That's great. No, yeah, Sean. I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but you know, you're already a White Sox fan, so it's a tough life as it is watching this baseball team. But my optimistic view is that they are not going to be any worse than last year. And how could you be 121 losses? I think the win total started at 49.5. It's been bet up to about 53.5. I'm not sure I would go either way, just because this White Sox team is going to be bad, but they're going to win, I think, around 50 games. I don't see them being historically terrible again. I think Will Venable makes a big difference as a manager. Remember, this was a guy that was looked at as the heir apparent to Bruce Bochy in Texas. He had interviewed with the Mets over the last couple of years. A lot of teams had interest in him, and he chose Chicago, and he likes what Chris Getz, the GM entering his second year, is building. It's just going to take some time. The prospect pool looks good, but not a lot of those guys outside of Colson Montgomery is probably going to make an impact this season. They could trade Luis Robert too. So I think just by the fact that Venable is there and they're going to give a look to some guys that are younger and eager to play a little bit more, I think the win total does go up. But beyond that, you're looking at another last place team, Sean, and another couple of seasons at least before this team gets back to respectability and competitive baseball.
Yeah, definitely going to be another long year for the South Side of Chicago, no question. Josh, before we let you go, man, anybody who's listened to this show, they know how much I like this Missouri team, right? I mean, the SEC has been stacked all year, and people want to talk about Auburn and Bama and Florida, but this Missouri team, they can score with the best of them. What do you think is the ceiling with this team? Because defensively, they do have some question marks. Do you think they're good enough to win the whole thing? Do you think Final Four is their ceiling? What do you think about the Missouri Tigers?
Yeah, man, I would love it. They've never made the Final Four though, PJ. So if you're talking about a team that, you know, maybe fans that are not Mizzou Tigers can rally around, a team that if your team's not in the dance or you're filling out a bracket and you want to give another team that's not the Dukes or the Auburns or the Floridas a look, you know, why not Mizzou because of that story? And you know, look, I would love to see Mizzou make a deep run. The defense does concern me. And if they match up against a team that is more of that lockdown defense, their last three losses in the SEC, all to teams top 20 in defensive efficiency in KenPom. So that would scare me if they run into kind of a buzzsaw defensively. But yeah, offensively, top five, you're going to give a chance on any night for our Dennis Gates squad to just outrun you and beat you down the court. But I got to think Gates is top three, top five in terms of coach of the year in the NCAA right now, just the way he has turned around the team. They won zero SEC yes. games last year, and now they have 10-plus wins, first SEC team ever to do that after a winless conference season. So just that alone, it's been such a pleasant surprise, kind of going to the transfer portal, getting guys who have been here now a couple seasons to buy in, and it's been fun to watch as a Mizzou fan that I was kind of down the last, you know, half decade on this basketball team because they really weren't doing anything. It brought me back in, and love watching Gates, who's a Chicago guy, so that's another great story for us here in the Windy City. So yeah, Mizzou, I would, you know, Elite Eight would be a great story. I don't know if they have that Final Four potential, but boy, would it be an amazing run if they can go all the way down to the Final Four this season.
Caleb Grill's hitting his shots, Josh. You got a chance, man. He's one of my favorites to watch.
That's true, man. Yeah, if he gets a couple looks, you know, you never know off the bench how hot he's going to get. And yeah, he's been an incredible story, incredible watch as well.
No doubt. Josh Freidman, give him a follow on X at Josh_Freidman, WGN TV Chicago, GN sports reporter and anchor as well. Josh, great meeting you. Appreciate the insight on the Cubs, the White Sox, and Mizzou. Hope to do it again soon, man. Enjoy March Madness and opening day as well.
Appreciate it, PJ. Very fun to be on with you. And Sean, I'll be texting you about the White Sox, I'm sure. Hopefully better news as the season goes on.
Hope so. Josh Freidman joining us here on Send It In. Really good stuff. As we keep rolling on here on the show, and we preview the Chicago Cubs for the upcoming season. Look, Josh made a lot of really good points. This is a team that won 83 games the past two seasons. Nice 1-2 punch with Imanaga and Justin Steele. I agree with him between the two guys. I would rather back Justin Steele. Imanaga, keep in mind, right? He comes over from Japan first season. A lot of these major league hitters have never seen him before. So they're getting their first look, and Imanaga has the upper hand. Then as we start to go later in the season, teams started to make the adjustments he wasn't at. as great, whereas Justin Steele's really been good the last two seasons. So if you're looking for one of the pitchers to rather back in the Cy Young market, I would rather go with Justin Steele. As for the Cubs' outlook for the futures market, right, if you want to bet them to win the NL Central or you want to bet them even go crazy to win the National League or anything like that, I always have a tough time betting a team that has expectations based on projection, right? A team like the Cubs, who with this core group hasn't won anything. They've never won a division title. They've never been to the playoffs. They haven't. We're just all projecting. Craig Counsell's a great manager. Kyle Tucker's an incredible player. This team, top to bottom, no question, has the most talent in the National League Central. But I just could not buy in on the Cubs at plus 110 for a team that hasn't done it yet, right? It's kind of like how I feel about Oklahoma City in the Western Conference. I get it. OKC's the most talented team. They're the best team, but they haven't been here. They haven't been that year. They haven't been there yet. So I have a tough time trusting teams like that that have these short prices that haven't proven to us that they can get the job done. So even though I do like the price for Steele, 35 to 1 to win NL Cy Young, I also think Kyle Tucker to win NL MVP at 16 to 1 because he is one of the most underrated players in baseball. I would lean towards the under on the Cubs season win total at 86.5. I would also lean towards them missing the playoffs at plus 145 just because even though they're extremely talented, they make the big splash and get Kyle Tucker, they have a really good manager and Counsell, they're playing in one of the weaker divisions in all of baseball, I just, the prices that were given with Chicago, I need to see it. You know, it's one of those that if they do it and they win the division, I tip my cap, but I couldn't bet a team like that at plus 110 that has not been there to show us that they should be the rightful favorites. And a lot of times, the past couple of years in the NL Central, it's kind of been the teams that have come off the radar, like the Brewers most of the time, that have ended up winning this division. So I'll pass for the Cubs for any futures market bets team-wise. Like, I don't want to bet them to win the division. I don't want to bet their win total. I do think the value on Steele, though, for NL Cy Young or Kyle Tucker, potentially, in a contract year, those are two bets to keep an eye on for the Cubs. All right, let's talk first overall pick here in the NFL draft as we do a little gridiron glass. We got some breaking news late last night from Adam Schefter, who tweeted out that Abdul Carter has a stress reaction in his right foot, has to decide soon if he wants to get surgery. The two options that Abdul Carter has is that he can get preemptive surgery and would be expected to miss about 8 weeks, or he can bypass the surgery, continue his pro day, and prove to NFL teams that he doesn't need it. Again, that reported by Adam Schefter. So obviously that throws a wrinkle in all this, right? What does Carter decide to do? Are teams thrown off by him maybe selecting him high? I don't think it will be. Again, even if he does get the surgery, he's going to miss 8 weeks. The season doesn't start until September, so he's going to be fine. If I was Carter personally, I would just get the surgery, try to get it repaired, be good to go. Cam Ward is still your favorite, though, to get the number one overall pick at minus 145. Abdul Carter is at plus 100 as well. Then you have Travis Hunter at plus 900 and Shedeur Sanders at 11 to 1. I don't like normally betting into these markets, but I think this year we're getting some really good value for who goes one first in the NFL draft. So sometimes in the NFL draft, like, you know that a team's going to select the guy first overall, right? We knew Chicago was going to take a quarterback first overall, and then later on we found out that it was definitely going to be Caleb Williams. The year the Bengals picked number one overall, we knew it was going to be Joe Burrow. The year that the Jags had the number one overall pick, we knew it was going to be Trevor Lawrence. Like, there are years in the NFL draft we know who a team is going to select number one overall. This is obviously not one of those years, and the odds reflect that. Not only do we not know who's going to go first overall, but we also don't even know who the team is that's going to be selecting first overall definitively. This definitely feels like a year where the Tennessee Titans could be shopping their pick, and I kind of think that they're going to be. Now, their general manager came out about a month ago and said that if they do select number one overall, it'd be tough to pass on a generational player. Now, there's speculation. Is he talking about Travis Hunter? Is he talking about Abdul Carter? Does he think that one of these quarterbacks is a generational player? And that kind of put some steam up on Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter as well. Hunter's fallen back a little since then at plus 900 and show is Shedeur Sanders at 11 to 1. To me, though, guys, and I did place a bet this morning because I love the value. If you're betting into the first overall market, I think the guy that you have to look for is Shedeur Sanders at 11-1. To me, that is absolutely the value for the first overall pick. Travis Hunter certainly could go number one overall. Just don't feel like he's going to. Abdul Carter also could go number one overall. But think about this, right? If a team's going to trade with Tennessee for the first overall pick, it's likely going to be a team that needs a quarterback, right? If Tennessee is going to trade with the team, it's likely going to be the Giants at 3. It's likely going to be the Raiders at 6, maybe even the Jets at 7 potentially. It feels like the Giants and the Raiders are the most two likely trade partners, though. And if those teams trade up, they're not getting Travis Hunter. They're not getting Abdul Carter. They're going after a quarterback. Right now, we're pricing this market as if Tennessee is on the clock, because they are. They're going to select a quarterback, and they're going to select Cam Ward. Well, what happens if Tennessee trades the pick? What happens if they trade it to the Giants? What happens if they trade it to the Raiders? Is Cam Ward the number one quarterback on the big board for both of those teams? Could be Shedeur Sanders, right? This is one of those years where there is not a clear-cut number one quarterback prospect. So to me, the value is on Shedeur Sanders at 11-1, because I do think the first overall pick will end up being a quarterback, but I'm not so sure that the first overall pick is going to be selected by the Tennessee Titans. So the Giants, Brian Daboll, he needs to win this year. Joe Shane, their GM, he needs to win this year. They obviously got rid of Daniel Jones later part of last season. They got to get a quarterback. Now, whether they end up doing that at 3 or trade up to get him at 1, I could see them doing that. And then the Raiders, now with Brady being in there and Pete Carroll as a new head coach and Spytek as the new GM, they could get aggressive as well. The Raiders have talked about doing that. So I really like this market, and I think the fact that we absolutely could see a trade from Tennessee from number one overall to another team that needs a quarterback, and Cam Ward might not be the top guy on their big board, I think that's great value on Shedeur Sanders at 11-1. So I bet him this morning. I think that's great value to look at Shedeur to go number one overall in the NFL draft. All right, no Lions Den today, but we got our guy Shani Sharp here with the Shani Sharp Sports Betting Minute. Going to get us updated on what's going on at the Cognizant Classic, some games that we got tonight in college hoops as well. Shani Sharp, what you got for us?
Yeah, Peach, let's go over to the Cognizant Classic right now. Let's look at the leaderboard over in Palm Beach Gardens. Jake Knapp is your current leader in the clubhouse at 12-under. Updated odds right now, you have Sung J.M. is the favorite at plus 100 to win the tournament, with Jake Knapp right behind him at plus 350. And the reason for that is because Sung J.M. Has birdied 2 of his first 3 holes. So he's 2-under through 3 currently. Behind Jake Knapp is Ricky Fowler at 8-1, Daniel Berger at 9-1, Russell Henley also at 9-1, and then a big drop-off where you have Jordan Spieth then at 30-1. They got 2 ranked matchups now in college basketball. Rutgers travels to Ann Arbor to take on number 15 Michigan. The Wolverines are 9.5-point favorites with a total of 154.5. And if you like Rutgers, they're a plus 350 on the money line. And then number 23, St. Mary's, is on the road at Loyola Marymount. The Gales are 13.5-point favorites with a total of 132.5. And PJ, I got to tell you, I know Josh, and he was at White Sox spring training. I think they're going to be terrible. They're going to be terrible.
Do they win 50 games? Yes or no?
For my mental health, I say yes. But, you know, I also do enjoy the pain, so maybe no.
I mean, Sean, I just want 50 wins, dude, that's still 112 losses. Like, I feel like you've got to get to 50 this year.
I mean, it can't be much worse, you know? It can't be much worse.
And they
have a lot of young talent.
They do. And as Josh mentioned, that win total has been bet up. It opened 49.5. Sure. It's about 52.5, 53. So there are some sickos out there that are believers in your White Sox getting those 52.5.
God bless them.
How about the Cognizant Classic, though? Jake Knapp shot a 59 today in the first round, Sean. He's 12 under par for the tournament. Insane stat that 17 of the last 24 winners at that event didn't score higher than 12 under par. Like, it is an absurd day out there. There's no wind. Guys are taking advantage. So, kind of ruined some of our handicap.
And he's not even the favorite.
Not even the favorite. Sungjae, like you said, who birdied 2 of his first 3. So golf's definitely going to be interesting going into tomorrow and throughout the weekend as well. Love it. Shani Sharp, Sports Betting Minute. All right, let's talk some college hoops, folks. It's a Thursday. We're going to dive into some glassatology. First off, though, shout out to B Mills right now. Hey, PJ, how about that Maryland under last night? I mean, B Mills, you could not have drawn up a more perfect under. Now, it would have maybe gotten a little bit sweaty if it went to overtime and then maybe even double OT, but Trey Holloman has your back with that game winner. Insane game. You're liking Rutgers plus 10 tonight against Michigan. I'll give out something in that game here coming up in a little bit. Let's dive into the Big Ten Conference, though, right? Because that was a big game last night between Michigan State and Maryland. Michigan State's been on an absolute tear. They have wins now at Maryland, at Michigan, home against Purdue, and at Illinois in their last four games. They got Wisconsin upcoming over the weekend. They've been really, really impressive. Michigan State in the non-conference, though, really didn't challenge themselves all that much. Two of the better teams that they played were Memphis and Kansas, and they lost both of those games by 8 points. Keep in mind, too, with Michigan, Michigan State, out of 364 teams, the Spartans rank 344th in three-point percentage. Folks, they shoot less than 30% from three-point range, and you saw that again last night. They shot like 20% from downtown. Michigan State can't shoot the ball, which, again, just goes to Izzo as a coach and how great their defense is because they're number six defensively in KenPom. But even though this team is pretty good from two-point range, they can't make threes, and I think they're a good upset candidate early. I get they're rolling through the Big Ten right now, but again, when you go up against these mid-major and lower-seeded teams, there's a good chance that a lot of them can probably shoot, and they're decent offensively, and if Michigan State has their normal game from three, and they're shooting 30%, while the team that they're facing is shooting 50% from deep, be a little worried about the Spartans. So right now, peak, there's no value on Michigan State because of the tear that they're on. Not a team, though, that I love heading into March. Then we got the Wisconsin Badgers, the number three seed. Badgers are interesting, and everybody's loving Wisconsin right now. Greg Gard has had a transformation with his program. They're awesome offensively. John Tanjay's been great. Blackwell's been great as well, too. My thing with Wisconsin, they're the number one free throw shooting team in the country, so you gotta love that. I just don't know the Badgers if they can really beat the top-tier teams in college basketball. Like, if you really dive into their season and look at the teams that they've beaten this year, it's been a lot of, like, the bottom tier of the Big Ten. They had a great win on the road at Mackey Arena where they shot, like, 71% in the second half, so they played the game of their life. But really, a lot of their wins aren't against, like, ranked teams. So I think Wisconsin, I'm not going to say they're frauds because they're really good, but their wins certainly don't stack up to like some of the SEC or Big 12 teams and some of the wins that they have on their resume. Then right now, a couple of the four seeds that we have in the Big Ten are going to be Michigan and Purdue. I mean, we'll start with Purdue, folks. It's going to be Purdue with Purdue. Like, Braden Smith's great. Fletcher Lawyer's great. But Matt Painter is going to turn back into Matt Painter in the NCAA tournament. No interest in Purdue. Michigan's interesting. Dusty May is a really good coach. We know in March, though, you need good guard play. And Michigan is built with a great front court in Vlad Golden and Danny Wilf. I do have concerns about their backcourt, so no interest for me in Michigan. Then we have Maryland as the number five seed. Terps played one of the worst non-conference schedules of any Power 5 team. They still rank top 20 offense and defensive efficiency, but you saw it last night against Michigan State. That game was too big for Maryland. They weren't ready to play in that environment yet. And I'm telling you guys, Jacoby Gillespie is the key for the Terps. He really struggled from last night, didn't hit a three-point shot. When he struggles, Maryland has no chance of beating good teams. When he plays well, then the Terps can beat top-tier teams. And I still have my worry about Kevin Willard as well, who's never been to a Sweet 16. Oregon Ducks right now are projected sixth seed. And folks, if there is any team that I believe you should back in March out of the Big Ten, it's the Oregon Ducks. Dana Altman is a terrific coach in March Madness. He's a perfect 8-0 as Oregon's head coach in the first round. And go back and look at what the Ducks did in the non-conference. They went undefeated. They went a perfect 11-0 in non-conference play before they got into their Big Ten schedule. They beat Alabama. They beat Texas A&M. They beat San Diego State, all on neutral floors. All three of those teams are going to be in the tournament. Bama's likely a 1 seed. A&M likely a 3 seed. Oregon's really good, and I think they're going to be undervalued because of all the talk about Michigan State and Wisconsin and Maryland, Michigan potentially. The Ducks, that's the team I would back, though, in March. Then we got UCLA as a projected 7 seed right now. Bruins are great defensively. I don't think they're going to have enough offensively to challenge, though. The Illini are looking like an 8 seed right now. We keep talking about how Illinois has got all this potential and they have the highest ceiling maybe of any team in the Big Ten. Folks, Illinois stinks. They're not good. They can't shoot the ball. They keep playing like a team that can shoot the ball when in reality they can't. They're 266 for 872 from three-point range this season. That's 30%. They shoot way too many threes that they don't make. I'm out on Illinois. And then finally, your bubble teams, Nebraska, Indiana, and Ohio State. Folks, I am hoping that Nebraska and Indiana get into the tournament because they are going to be easy fades in the first round. Ohio State could be a little more interesting. That would be the team that if they get in, I could see them winning a game, possibly even two. But if Indiana and Nebraska get in, we're going to be licking our chops to fade those teams in the first round. All right, let's wrap the show. PJ's Place here on Send It In. As I talked about, folks, my prop lock is going to be Shedeur Sanders to be the number one overall pick at 13-1. Absolutely love that value for Shedeur. Think there's a great chance the Titans trade the pick to the Giants or the Raiders, and that Shedeur might be the number one quarterback on their big board. So we'll go with him to be the number one overall pick. Dog of the day is going to be Loyola Marymount, plus 13.5 against St. Mary's. Bartovic, KenPom, they have this game as about a 10.5 point spread. It's 13.5 on BetMGM. St. Mary's is coming off the big win at Gonzaga over the weekend. Give me Loyola Marymount to keep it close, plus the 13.5. Then my best bet of the day is going to be Wichita State on the money line against UAB. Wichita upset Memphis at home a couple weeks ago. That's a tough place to play in Wichita. UAB is a really good team. Andy Kennedy is a really good coach. But I think Wichita, they get the win tonight against the Blazers. Give me the Shockers, minus 115 on the money line. Once again, Shedeur, prop lock to go number one overall. Loyola Marymount, plus 13.5 is our dog of the day. Wichita State on the money line against UAB is our best bet. Thanks again to John Freeman, Shawnee Sharp as well for his Sports Betting Minute. We'll wrap up the week tomorrow on Friday. See you guys then.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.